Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
In Louisiana, the murder of an abducted child and her mother raises concerns about the Amber Alert system in the state, and we got the details. In Mississippi, a cop is sentenced to a year in jail and after forcing a man in custody to lick urine off his cell floor. And a 13-year-old girl is sexually assaulted in a park in New York City in broad daylight. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, June 19th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And it's Wednesday.
Wednesday, hump day. Hump day, middle of the weekday. Whatever else you want to call it, right? And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all, and we're not going to fool around. Let's get into some true crime time for Wednesday.
Well, and we're going to start it off in Louisiana, and I want to credit Kieran Chawla, Unfiltered with Kieran. Yep, she really dug into the following story that I'm going to kind of highlight for you.
Hey, let me say something real quick.
Yeah.
When I was sick, that after I got out of the hospital and started looking at all the posts and everything, I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you to Kieran Chawla. She did a post for me and everything. So we love her. Y'all go check that out, Louisiana Unfiltered. Kieran Chawla's YouTube,
Louisiana Unfiltered is her podcast. Unfiltered with Kieran is her news blog,
and she's a hell of a journalist.
Emmy award
career, Emmy award winning, and we love her.
So we're going to get into this, and we told you yesterday in that episode about the horrific death of Callie Burnett and her 3-year-old or 4-year-old daughter Erin. And we mentioned the Amber Alert system, and it worked well in this case, but it's coming out that it could have worked a little bit better.
Right.
And it's actually coming out from the Tangipahoa Sheriff.
Right.
So this isn't just an opinion from people. Yeah, this is
real quick on that. Daniel Edwards, y'all, he really is a good guy. And I remember when he first won sheriff way back when I was still with Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office and I was on the SWAT team. They had a triple murder in Tangipahoa Parish, and he hadn't been elected for, he hadn't been in office maybe a month. And he called out, they didn't have a SWAT team, and he called us out, and we hit three houses like 4 o'clock in the morning at the same time. And guess what? He was with us taking the doors. Yeah. So I have respect for him. He, of course, he's the brother of former Governor John Bel Edwards, who I don't really have a lot to say about.
Yeah.
But the, anytime these cases come up like this and these high profile cases, that they're going to be put on the microscope, and you can always, always, always do something better. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but the, it doesn't mean that they didn't do everything they could do at the time or they thought they could do at the time to make, resolve this.
We're going to give you the situation, let you kind of come up with your own judgments on this. But, we told you yesterday about that horrific incident, and one official investigating the disappearance of the two young girls voiced his frustration and concern. That was the sheriff, Daniel Edwards. He said Friday that they did everything they could to get the alert out and that there's a systematic issue, in his opinion, with the Amber Alert system. Something is wrong. The system is broken, and we need to look at to try to fix it. A representative for the Louisiana State Police said they waited to release the Amber Alert because they did not have all the information. Edwards said Friday the state guided them on how to fully fill out the Amber Alert request form and kept following up. They thought they were good to go. We provided them the form filled out, and if you need anything else, let us know. I'm not really sure what more we were supposed to do. He said the state never requested any additional information, and ultimately the Amber Alert went out. So in this case, the paperwork needed to get the Amber Alert out was submitted at 10:16 a.m.
Right.
Okay, that day. But after submitting the required documents, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Russell received a phone call advising that this was not a full Amber Alert, but instead was a level 2 child endangerment, which essentially means that it'll go out to the media. There'll be a media release about these girls being kidnapped, but not an emergency alert to all phones. So when the Amber Alert beeps on your phone, you wouldn't get that with a level 2 child endangerment alert. The chief of operations, Jimmy Travis, started making urgent phone calls and text messages with a desperate plea to the Sheriff's Association. It's also when Chief Travis advised a lieutenant to send out an emergency press release to media requesting help finding the missing girls, since the Amber Alert was not going out at that time. Now, that release was received by the media at 10:34 a.m. At 10:49, Chief Travis received a call back from State Police Fusion official Jonathan Kemp advising that they were working on the Amber Alert and they had all the information they needed. At 12:02, Chief Travis sent a text message to Kemp for a status update. That's when Kemp called him back at 12:07, telling him they were working on it. Then at 12:28 p.m., that Amber Alert finally went out to everyone some 2 hours later. So the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, they had a legit question here, I think. Why isn't an Amber Alert treated like a 911 call where the operator verifies the caller, takes down the information in real time instead of a series of emails back and forth? This is him questioning this. Our detectives were on the scene in rural areas on laptops trying to receive and send this information back and forth. There's no word as to yet to why the alert was not issued sooner. As to whether it would have made a difference, we'll never know, but it definitely needs to be tightened up and fixed. You know, that's 2 hours of precious time, man.
I got a couple things I want to say about this, and then it's bad, but I think good will come out of it. Now, you know, I worked at headquarters, Louisiana State Police, where the Fusion Center is and all that. Unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but it's just the honest God truth. I remember when I first started with them and I got a case and I wrote a search warrant. It wasn't that big of a case, whatever it was. And I wrote a search warrant like I've written 1,000 times before when I was a detective with Livingston, right?
Yeah.
And I go serve a search warrant and they bitch me out. They call me in on the carver and tried to bitch me out. And you can't do a search warrant, da, 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 da. You have to send it to the legal department and get it approved. Da, da. And I said, hey, motherfucker, the legal department ain't going to be the one to get on the stand and have to testify the search warrant, you know, is good after the fact. I said, I've written 1,000 search warrants. I've never had to get it approved by a lawyer in the department that says this is good. Now, I can tell you what happened in this. The state police, God bless them, experts at writing accidents, tickets, and DWIs. Now they have a lot of great investigators, but they recruited me as a criminal investigator. At the time, I was the highest ranking one they had. But that's because they didn't know a whole lot about investigations.
Sure.
And so now they've got, over the years since I was hired, they go out and they cherry pick the top investigators from these different sheriff's offices and city police departments, and they bring them in. And now they have a great bunch of guys, and yeah, they've even, you know, increased the pay and everything else. But the problem is the red tape. It is so fucking bad. They are so, I don't want to say scared, but maybe that's the correct word. Then when they get something like this, they're like, ooh, we got to run this through legal. We got to run this to the colonel. We got to do this. We got to do that. So that, I'm telling you right now, that's red tape.
Yeah.
Jimmy Travis, great guy. He's been in law enforcement. I think we probably started around the same time. And he actually came from another department and Daniel got him over as the chief. But the red tape part of it, oh, it's so fucking stupid. Just let the cops do the work. I would rather see them put it out and there'd be nothing to it,
right?
Than them not put it out for several hours, and it could have, we don't never know, but it could have stopped these murders.
Well, and seconds matter, minutes matter.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone, and I think Chief Travis would say this, as would the sheriff, as would Sheriff Daniels. I don't think anyone more than the state police and all the people working on it wanted to see this solved and these little girls found. I think red tape just sometimes gets in the freaking way.
And so they get it. The state police get it, and then I know. Because, like I tell you on search warrant, then now they wanted every search warrant I wrote, I had to send through legal to get approved and stuff. That's just the way it was. This thing, they're getting this, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it might not really be qualified. Let's send it to legal and da-da-da-da. We don't want to blow up everybody's cell phone and use this emergency system because it might not be enough. Fuck that. Do it. Yeah. And if it's overkill, you're not hurting anybody.
No.
I mean, you're blowing up my cell phone. So what?
Yeah.
You know, every parent out there, every person, every good person out there, they don't mind.
No.
That little thing. So hopefully the state police will fix this error in the system. And I'm not throwing shade on them. It's just the way that it is.
That's right.
But you know what? I hated asking somebody, especially older cops when I was coming up, I hated asking the question and say, hey, why wasn't this done? And they say, it's because of the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, that doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
But I would expect that they are going to have a committee now that's going to review it, and they'll come out with a new policy and procedure. And you know what? They need to.
I agree.
And so I'm not throwing shade on them. It's just the way that it is, and that's the reason that it was delayed for a couple hours, which who knows what could have happened during that time.
Well, at the end of the day, if it leads to it getting fixed and being more efficient, mm-hmm, then that's the goal.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully that's what's going to happen. And the state police good about that.
They'll, yep,
they will police themselves, if you will.
100%.
All right, let's go to New York City. and y'all, this is just crazy. So a man arrived at a New York City public park in broad daylight and forcibly raped a 13-year-old girl, according to police. The New York Police Department said that a 13-year-old girl and her friend, a 13-year-old boy, were at Kissina Park in Queens, New York on Thursday, June the 13th at 3:30 p.m., so broad daylight. Authorities said the young teenagers were approached by a Hispanic male who showed them a knife and demanded that they follow him into the woods. Okay, in a secluded area of the park, the suspect took the teen's cell phones before tying their wrists together with a shoelace. Police said that after the children were helplessly tied up, the suspect forcibly sexually assaulted or raped y'all. The girl, and after raping the young girl, he disappeared from the park. Right? The teens were able to get free and run to the school across the street, and they called 911. They were taken to hospital in stable condition, and the NYPD offered a reward up to $10,000 for information on the rape incident. And now let me tell you about the suspect. And they have a composite sketch of me, y'all. The suspect was described as a male Hispanic around 5'5" in his 20s with curly hair and was last seen wearing red sneakers and carrying a green backpack. He appeared to have dental braces on his teeth, and he had a tattoo of a boar or a bull with red eyes on his chest. And, of course, they're asking anyone the information to call Crime Stoppers. Yeah. But, you know, wow.
Let me tell you this, and it wasn't this story that made me think of this. I've always kind of thought about this and the safety of it, I guess, with having kids and everything. But, you know, at schools you have an officer, and it's an SRO, school resource officer, that is at that school at all times. I think that you should have a police officer. They should have it in a budget for a city that has these public parks, that a police officer is at that facility at all times. Yeah. Number one, it would help the police.
Right.
Look, nothing's better than overtime for a police officer. They love that, these extra duty stuff.
Right.
It would help them, and it would also keep these places safe, because guaranteed these predators, especially rapists and child traffickers, they're looking at public parks hard.
You're absolutely right. It's a place where they can get their victims unaware, et cetera. Now, most of these parks do have officers that are assigned to them, whether it be horse patrol or whatever. But the deal being is they're huge. You think about New York City and you think of the concrete jungle or Chicago or whatever. But they have, if you ever go to these parks, they're huge. Yeah. Now, they're hundreds of acres.
What's the one in New York City?
The big one, Central Park.
Yeah.
Gigantic. Hundreds and hundreds of acres. There's no way. Maybe they should put cameras all throughout it and have a central.
They have the AI cameras now that you pull a gun out, it'll send an alert. Right. It knows.
But you have to have the camera. And then he takes them to a wooded area of the park and where it's off the trails and they can't be seen. I don't know what the answer to that is. I hope they catch this asshole, because if he did it once, he's going to do it again. Now, it sounds like they got a pretty good description. The tattoo's not going to lie and the braces aren't going to lie.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll catch him, and hopefully this sweet baby girl will be all right and get the counseling she needs and everything else.
And it looks like she did the right thing, which was look for distinctive features.
Right.
And thank God
he didn't kill him.
Thank God. Yeah. Wow. Be careful at those parks. Woody's talked about it on previous episodes. Keep your head on a swivel.
Head on a swivel in the parks. And people go there, and predators go there and watch.
That's right.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, we're going to take you to Mississippi, our neighboring state here in the state of Louisiana, and we're going to tell you about a former Mississippi police officer who admitted to forcing a man in custody to lick his own urine off the floor of his jail cell. He has been sentenced to 1 year in federal prison. So let me tell you all about this. 3 months after Michael Christian Green, 26, pled guilty to one count of acting under color of law to deprive a person of his civil rights, the ex-cop is now sentenced to prison for that year. His prison time will be followed by another year of supervised release and fines. His actions were captured on security camera at a holding cell in the Pearl Police Department. Yeah. Green responded to a report of a family disturbance at a local Sam's Club before arresting and transferring a man to that police department where the man was in his holding cell. He told the police he had to take a piss. They basically told him too bad. Right. So he pisses on the floor after those officers in his statement denied his request to go to the bathroom. Right. After moving the man into booking, Green noticed the urine and orders the man to, quote, go suck it up right now. It's not funny. It's not funny, but you just can't believe you telling that. You see the phone? I will beat your fucking ass with it. Mm. You're fixing to go in there, and you're going to lick that piss up. Mm. Do you understand me? The officer instructed the man. Now, this was all on camera. He then took out his cell phone, and he actually filmed the guy licking up his own urine. Yeah, right. As he demanded the man to not spit it out, the man then repeatedly vomited into a trash can. Now, Green joined that police department in June of 2023, so he was very new there. Yeah. And thank God he is not a police officer anymore, because this isn't throwing any shade on police. Police officers hate this sumbitch.
Right, absolutely.
Because he's the problem.
Yeah, and let me tell you what. There's two kinds of cops. The ones who need the badge to feel like a man, and the ones who do it because they love it. This guy got his little badge, got his little bit of authority. And let me tell you, first of all, he wasn't on the streets. He's in the jail.
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe every cop should have to start working in the jail system, in the correction system, so you can learn to deal with the people and the personalities you can deal with on the street. But this is the guy who got off on his authority. In what fucking world is it okay for you to make a motherfucker lick his piss up?
Yeah.
And then you film it, right? So as bad as the situation is, I would hate to see him had he slid underneath the radar and one day got on the street, because his abuse of powers he would have kept doing it. He'd have kept giving a black eye to all cops. And, you know, here's the deal. When you arrest somebody and you bring them to jail, or even if you're a convict in jail, like Aunt Bloody Angola, right? You're not there as a correction officer to punish them.
Right.
You're there to house them,
right,
and keep the public safe from them. And this guy would have been processed in for his charges and done whatever and made bail. And ultimately he had to answer his day in court. Now, this idiot that, you know, gets off on, oh, I'm the man, I got a badge, I'm the fucking man.
Yeah, lick your piss up,
bitch. And I remember when we first reported the story, I'm like, what a fucking douchebag. And,
well,
you know, it happens. It's unfortunate it happens. And what a fucking moron. It tells you that his level of intelligence that he records it.
Right? Yeah.
And I'm sure he showed it around and it got out. Well, there you go. Let's talk about serial killer, all right? And the I-70 Strangler.
Ooh,
right? And so the I-70 Strangler has become a ghost story about a faceless boogeyman who hunted boys and men in the 1980s and 1990s. So he's active for a while, y'all. And at least 12 bodies were found partially nude and strangled and dumped in streams and gullies and trenches along Interstate 70 in Indiana and Ohio. So typical interstate body dumping, right? Crossing the state lines like we talked about so many times. And he kills them and just pulls over and drags them off in the woods, right? So over the years, investigators looked at two notorious serial killers, Larry William Eiler and Herb Baumeister, as the I-70 Strangler. But they never got enough proof, Jim, to say if one of them was or one of them wasn't.
Right.
So they just didn't have definitive proof. But Baumeister, whose property was littered with, now check this out, 10,000 burnt and crushed skeletal remains of his victims.
Oh,
right. Gosh. He is more commonly associated with the shadowy Midwest monster. Another, you know, media loves to give net titles to these
assholes. Yeah, oh yeah.
Since a loyal, now this is really cool. A local retired and highly respected sheriff. He retires. He becomes a private investigator. Right. And he ends up tying Baumeister to these killings, right? He said, I had a brush with the devil. But after Virgil Vandegrift, who's the retired sheriff of Marion County, Indiana, he received some phone calls in the mid-1990s from families concerned about suspicious disappearances of loved ones. Now, seemingly isolated missing person cases became a hunt for a serial killer. So both men were gay with similar heights, weights, and appearances, and they vanished on their way to bars, and that's where this retired sheriff went out and distributed flowers, right? So during his investigation, a publisher of a magazine focused on issues concerning the gay population alerted Vandegrift about a rash of missing men in the Indianapolis area that seemed to fit the same profile, right? So it became obvious there was a serial killer, Vandegrift told the news in December 2022 interview. Just had to figure out who, where, and how to bring it to an end. Y'all, this story is crazy, all right? Vandegrift took his findings to police, right? Now, like we did on Real Life Real Crime Original, you're not a cop anymore, so you can only do so much, and at some point, you got to turn it over. Yeah. Well, he took it to police, but the gay victims were considered low priority for law enforcement at the time. High-risk lifestyle, nobody really cared about them. You know, you bet if it was a young white girl that it had made national news. But he said, it was shocking to me the number of gay people that were missing that no one would pay attention to. And this Vandegrift told WTHR during that 2022 interview. He said, instead of waiting, the investigator took the case into his own hands and created a profile of the killer. Now, during the investigation, an informant who used a fake name said he had met a man named Brian Smart, a nickname which was used by the guy I told you about, Baumeister. He used Brian Smart as an alias when he went to the local bars.
Mm-hmm.
So the informant survived a confrontation with Baumeister and saw him again in a bar, and he yelled, "This guy's a serial killer. Somebody gives him his license plate number." This is what Vandegrift found out during this investigation. Not surprisingly, that license plate came back to Baumeister, which led law enforcement to a secluded 18-acre property at Fox Hollow Farm in Westfield, Indiana. Now, law enforcement ultimately dug up 10,000 burnt and crushed skeletal remains around Baumeister's home in the 1990s, including those of Vandegrift's two missing persons that he was investigating, the two gay guys. Now, before he bought the vast property in 1991, investigators believe Baumeister had dumped his victims along I-70. But, hell or jail, he died by suicide after fleeing to Canada as his life, you know, sugar turned to shit in his life.
Yeah.
His marriage crumbled, his business went bankrupt, and there was a warrant for his arrest, right? So he shot himself in July of 1996 and took all his secrets to the grave. 10,000 body parts, Jim. The Hamilton County Coroner's Office teamed up with Orthram, we've talked about a lot on the show, one of the country's leading forensic genetic genealogy labs, to identify Baumeister's victims 3 decades after his death. 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? So far, the Hamilton County Coroner's Office has identified 8 victims, and investigators have 4 more DNA profiles that have not been identified yet, which brings the body count up to 12. This is confirmed. And this is according to the Hamilton County Coroner, Jeff Jellison. So investigators have tied Baumeister to at least 25 victims, but he was never definitively named as the I-70 strangler, and neither was the other prime suspect, who's Eiler, who is believed to have murdered at least 21 more victims around the same time. And his victims were also boys and young men in the gay community from the same area. Now, Eiler was sentenced to death by lethal injection for that. They can't say he was I-70 strangler, but they got him on these other charges, right? And he's sentenced to death. The I-70 strangler and the I-70 killer are two different but still unknown serial killers who murder the victims in the same area. Like you and I talked about here in Baton Rouge, Derek Todd Lee and Sean Vincent Gillis active at the same time, hard and tied together. But the strangler's killings appeared to be sexually motivated, and the victims were male, while the I-70s killers' victims didn't have evidence of sexual assault and were typically young women. So different modus operandi, right? Crazy, crazy story. 30 years, and, you know, these victims never going to get justice, because I do believe that they, I mean, obviously he had 10,000 body parts, including two of the victims this retired sheriff was looking for. No justice, but one's in hell and one got sentenced to lethal injection.
Yeah, and thank God that DNA has advanced to the point where, right, at least you can identify.
And shout these out people to Orthram Labs, right? But they all the, not all, but a lot of these cases that are being solved now. And I'm going to be working on one out in New Orleans from murders of gay men in the 1980s. And a piece of the main evidence was sent to Orthram also. And those guys are doing, or and girls are doing some wonderful work.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, the secrets that they take to the grave, some of these guys. We're going to go to Texas.
Texas,
yeah. And we're gonna tell you about a pretty bizarre case there. Texas is actually our second largest listening base.
Right? We love our,
yeah,
we love our people out there.
That's right.
Right? Leah Marie.
Leah Marie.
Says the stuff every day.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody else.
That's right. Well, we're going to tell you about
Kimmy from
yeah. Broussard? Is it Broussard?
No. Oh. Yeah, but Kimmy's going to kill me. She came in for O'Hara's with her daughter, but she's been to every live show. Her and her husband, they're the ones that made me the bottle of wine and stuff. One is super fucking cool people, super cool to hang out with, and they're in the Dallas area. But anyway.
Well, we're going to tell you about Giselle Salazar. She's a mother of four, and she was found dead. She was actually hanging from a dock on May 31st in League City, Texas. Now, the 30-year-old death is being investigated as suspected foul play. Initially, it was, thought was a suicide. Right. She's hanging from a bridge. Right. Police in Galveston, or a dock, rather. Police in Galveston are investigating Salazar's death as that possible homicide, and they have even identified two people of interest. Police told media outlets that they believe the victim was killed before being placed in that position, and the scene was staged to look like a suicide. And I'm going to tell you why they thought that. Now, on May 31st, police did confirm that they were notified about a woman who appeared to be lifeless and hung by a rope on the dock. Salazar's body was found near her boyfriend's boat, where she was living at the time of her death. The boyfriend, James Hart, said, "This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me." He also added, "He feels like it's a nightmare you can't wake up from. I didn't have anything to do with it, and I never would have. I just love Giselle more than anything in the world. We were together 24/7, and I want justice for Giselle and for myself." Police said that when Hart was notified of Salazar's death, he became very distraught and would not come off of his boat. Salazar's body was partially submerged in the water with one of her arms in an awkward position. There's a clue.
Right.
That's what we call a clue in the business. Because of the position of her arm, we believe she probably passed away somewhere else. Now, why would they think that?
Probably because of the rigor mortis or lividity.
You just nailed it. Yeah. The rigor mortis will stiffen you.
Right, and it happens in stages. It you get stiff, and it'll lacken up, and then it'll get stiff again. It happens over periods of hours.
So that's right. So apparently when she was hanging, one of her arms was crooked upward. If you hang and you commit suicide and your arms hang down by their side, the rigor mortis is going to set in in that area.
And the blood's going to drain to the bottom of your hands.
Yeah. So because of that position, we believe she probably passed away somewhere else. That from police Lieutenant Eric Cox, rigor mortis sets in. And then when she was moved, her arms stayed in that position.
Right. And also, look, rigor mortis, I've dealt with it. It's like cement.
Yeah.
When it's in full rigor. I mean, like you literally could pick up a body by an arm that was bent like that. You pick it up like that and not break the arm.
Yeah.
Where normally, pick my arm up, it flops. Yeah.
Yeah. And also what stands out, and she had four children.
Oh, God.
And so it happens. People commit suicide. Ladies commit suicide with that many children, but it's probably kind of rare.
Yeah.
usually when they have four kids, they're not going to do that.
And
when they're babies,
and usually, you know, I can't say that I have had some that hung themselves. Even more rare to shoot themselves because they don't want to. Females don't want to mess themselves up for the funeral. Yeah. Now having four kids, I'm throwing flags.
Yeah, so they're investigating it now as suspected foul play. And apparently, the boyfriend thinks he's on the list because he's denying everything.
You said something in the beginning that threw a red flag for me, and I don't know because I wasn't there. But you, if you go back to the beginning and read, he said,
"Yeah, Salazar was found near her boyfriend's boat. The boyfriend said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me."
Keep going.
He added, "It feels like a nightmare you can't wake up from. I didn't have anything to do with it, and I never would have. I just loved Giselle more than anything in the world. We were together 24/7, and I want justice for Giselle and myself."
That's it. That was what you said, and it threw the red flag. I want justice for Giselle would be understandable, but not for yourself.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
I want to be exonerated. Not justice for myself, justice for yourself. If you did it, you need to go to prison.
Yeah.
And that's, I get so many requests, Jim, from people. And, certainly a lot of them are just going to be family members, don't believe that their family members killed themselves, et cetera. But some of them are just bad. And I mean, like, holy shit, and read this case. And I'm going to do one soon on Real Life for Crime Original. Where it's a suspected suicide. And look, a lot of times it just happens. The cops will go in and work it and just rule it suicide, et cetera. And I'll go back to one that I read before I went to state police, and then it ended up being one of the state police family members. And they got me the stuff, and I had heard of it. They got me the stuff, and it's supposed to be a suicide that this guy shot himself. And I'm looking at this is old timey crime scene photos, like on the 9mm and stuff, not digital shit. And this guy was like a fucking, about karate and shit. I don't know, but like a triple black belt. And then he was like 6'7" and whatever. Now he's found with his pants down around his ankles, half in and half out of the bathroom door. And they said he shot himself in the head.
Mm.
Problem was, pistol was in the bedroom.
Oh,
like 40 feet away.
Yeah.
And he had had some problems with another guy and what have you, that it was an ongoing thing. But the pistol being in the bedroom, and the detectives, this is back a long fucking time ago in the early 80s, the detectives just walk in and be like, oh, fuck it, this is suicide.
Yeah. That dog don't hunt.
No. It just doesn't work. But anyway, God bless them.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
All right, so you and I have been Hooters a couple times.
Yep.
Drink the cold beer. And honestly, when I was a cop, I went to Hooters once. I just went something I went to the call them restaurants or whatever. All my buddies would go, and then I think I went one time with Ben Smith and the SWAT team. He's deceased now, rest in peace, brother. With SWAT team guys and what have you. But for me, after I got together with Cindy, we would go and day drink, sit there in the booth and drink. So it really wasn't about restaurant for me or looking at girls and bikinis or whatever. And when I was in polygraph school in Austin, bikinis, that the very first one opened, and now they're a national chain, and it was right in front of my hotel room. And I'd get back from school every day and go drink beer, right? But it wasn't about looking at girls in bikinis. And fuck, you can do that anywhere. Porn's free on the internet. But have you ever heard of a bikini coffee shop?
No.
Okay, well, they have them. And I'm going to take you out to Seattle, right? Home of coffee, more coffee shops than anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And then evidently in this coffee shop, the females wear bikinis.
Mm.
Maybe a little extra.
That'll wake you up in the morning.
Right, to get a guy to come in. So, but listen to this shit. It takes all kinds of more, make the world go around. So this lady, they call them baristas, right?
Yeah.
She's working, she's doing her job, and she's actually the owner. And she's the owner of the Seattle Bikini Espresso Shop. And she's having to defend herself.
Or?
Because she's defending her decision to smash a customer's windshield with a hammer.
Oh.
After he threw coffee at her. Now, there's actually a video of this, but I'll get to that in a second. So the incident at Taste of Heaven Espresso was caught on camera at 3 p.m., right, June 11th, and shared in a now viral social media video. So Emma Lee, who's 23 years old, told Fox 13 of Seattle, it was not the first time the customer had been disrespectful, and she wants him held accountable for his actions. What transpired on video was culmination of a 15-minute exchange over the price of a 32-ounce coffee and a 24-ounce water, Lee said. The price was $22.
Woo, that's expensive.
Right? Who the fuck drinks a 32-ounce coffee?
Jesus. 32-ounce coffee.
But Lee can be heard demanding the customer leave in the surveillance video posted to her personal Instagram page. Nobody is going to miss you, the man can be heard saying.
Hmm.
Do you want me to throw this on you? She asked him. Give it to me, he says, before taking the two cups back. He then pops the lid off the water and throws it at her before doing the same with the coffee.
Oh.
Right? He gets back in his car while Lee pulls out a hammer and strikes his windshield before he drove off.
I can't say I blame her.
So you don't get to name your own price, Lee told Fox News 13, adding that the man screamed, spit, and tried to pry open the business window. Remember, they're in the drive-thru, y'all. It was a threat, Lee said. I felt in danger. It's okay for him to be outraged about the price of his drinks, but enough to assault me? But it's not appropriate for me to respond? Well, Lee called police and told Fox 13 that she filed charges for misdemeanor assault, and the Seattle police didn't respond to the news request. Y'all, if you get a chance, you got to see this video. It's just, people are so fucking stupid. I'm pretty sure the $32 price tag has something to do with the girls in bikinis. I mean, Starbucks, they're expensive as fuck, but at least
that's right.
There's not $32 for one coffee or $22 or whatever.
Yeah. So you can't just throw shit all over people.
And prying the window open and throwing shit in. And shit, she got a hair. Boy, what the fuck are you doing hammering a coffee shop?
Right.
But anyway, she got a lick in.
Good for her. I mean,
shit happens.
That's it.
And y'all, look, we're going to be bringing back some Mile Highs.
Well, we got one for them right now. Right.
Well, then give it to them.
We got a WTF.
Yeah, a WTF. Obviously, I was just saying that in the future, we're going to be bringing back the episodes because we know y'all love them.
Yep.
So that's lay right. on the WTF.
Jim. This what one the? Right here definitely made me say that.
Right.
Let me tell you this story. A 51-year-old man is facing murder charges after police in Washington determined he fatally shot a 17-year-old boy in a Big Five sporting goods parking lot as the boy was attempting to return an airsoft gun with two friends.
God.
You ain't going to believe what I'm about to tell you. The incident occurred around 7:30 p.m. on last Friday. This was in Renton, Washington. The suspect, Aaron Brown Myers, approached the three teenagers in the parking lot, and a physical altercation ensued. The three teenagers were walking toward the store to return an airsoft gun when the suspect approached them with a firearm. Myers was an off-duty security guard. He shot the 17-year-old victim multiple times. Jeez. Deputies from King County Sheriff's Office responded to the incident immediately, but the victim died at the scene. Myers has been charged with second-degree murder. Myers claimed he was in the area to do overwatch after noticing an increase of crimes in the parking lot. He believed the groups of teens were going to commit a violent robbery. Investigators obtained surveillance footage from the sporting goods store, as well as a nearby martial arts studio, which they say showed the teenagers removing the airsoft gun from his pocket and laying it on the ground after Myers approached them with a gun. As the altercation continued, the suspect pushed the teenager to the ground and straddled him while aiming his gun at the victim, who had his fingers extended to show that both his hands were empty. As the victim briefly lowered his arm to his waist while backing away from Myers, the suspect shot the victim multiple times. Mm. The two surviving teenagers claimed they repeatedly told Myers that it was not a real gun. It was a BB gun. The teenager sustained at least 7 gunshot wounds, with 6 of them entering through his back.
Wow.
Wow. What the fuck?
Right? Holy shit. Cancel Christmas for that day.
That just pissed me off when I read that.
You know,
so some kid returning a BB gun.
So those airsoft guns, they have that, all of it's mandated by law, they have that orange thing on the end of the barrel because they do look so real.
Yeah.
But the thing being is that the kids had their hands, they put it on the ground.
Put it on the ground. They're all telling him it's a BB gun.
Goes back to the different kinds of cops. That's the badge. You know, needs a badge to feel like a man, even though he's a security guard. And usually, and I hate to say this, but I had all the jewelry stores across the United States that I would go to. And I'll never forget, I was responsible for most of them were off duty cops, but some weren't. It was private security companies. And I'll never forget, it was in Jackson, Mississippi. It was in Shreveport. This big tall guy, and I would do surveillance on them, watch them and see how they open and close, if they were looking around, heads on a swivel and all that stuff. And this security, this young kid, be like 6'7", monstrous guy. And I walked up to him and go in and do my presentation, whatever. And I'm coming out and I told him, I said, "Hey man, how long you been doing security work for?" And he said, "Oh, about a month." Now he's got a firearm on.
Yeah.
Right. In the state of Louisiana, you have to qualify with your firearm. Mm. And I said, how often you shoot your pistol? You know, it's often just to see, because security guard companies, a lot of them are just like, they want a body in front of the door. They're charging $25 an hour to the company, and they're paying them, these kids, minimum wage. And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "How often do you shoot your firearm?" He said, "I've never shot it." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "What are you going to do if bad guys come in the store and you're in the store?" So they had to stand out in the front during the opening to make sure everybody get in, and during the close and make sure everybody gets out safely. But during the daytime, they're in the store.
Yeah.
It's present. This is just a deterrent, right?
Sure.
And I said, "What are you going to do if you're in the store and bad guys come in with guns and say, 'Everybody get down, this is a robbery.'" And I swear his eyes glazed over and he put his hand on his pistol. He said, I'm going to kill them all.
Oh.
I went to my car. I said, called headquarters. I said, get this motherfucker off the job now. And that's the same kind of thing. And a lot of those security, and I'm not knocking on those great security guards too, but a lot of the security guards can't get on police departments. They can't pass the psychological tests for obvious reasons and whatever. And this asshole just was, he was itching for the day like that young kid. He was wishing somebody to come through the door with a gun so he can, John Wayne's dead hero. And I hate that. And six times in the back, I can understand if the first one went in, you spun around, the body spins around from the force of it, and maybe you catch one in the back, but you kept shooting. An unarmed kid.
Yeah. Sick, man.
What the fuck?
WTF.
What the fuck?
All right. Well, man. Any final thoughts?
No, that's another great show. We love y'all and appreciate you back, y'all, every time. And God willing that something doesn't happen to Jim or something doesn't happen to me again. Back in the saddle, rolling the story. Send us your story. Send us your kinky crimes and mile highs or whatever happens in your town and you think it's worthy, send it to us.
That's right.
And because we love to hear it.
That's right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.